Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. We have in this segment, Rick, an interesting conversation with Dr. Christopher Sharp, who is a doctor of veterinary medicine for Michigan Vet Specialists in both the Grand Rapids and the Detroit area. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sharp.
Hello, thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Dr. Sharp, the reason we wanted to speak with you is there's a number of issues that come up this time of year related to dehydration and the problem with animals who tend to be out and about who just want to drink from, whether it's a puddle on the ground or it's a lake or out of the bird bath or something like that. Can you kind of give us an understanding of what kind of issues there are related to dehydration and how pet keepers can do a better job of protecting their animals?
Sure. This is the time of the year that we quite often see dogs and sometimes cats that present for severe dehydration, mostly to do with the weather and outdoor activities. Probably the biggest thing to keep in mind is activities that the pet can do in the very warm weather oftentimes can get their temperature quite high, providing fresh water that's not been out in the environment is the most important thing to try to prevent that. And to not allow them to do too much strenuous activity when the weather's too warm.
Yeah, I know that my dogs love to play, period. One of the things that we've done in the past, and we just did recently, is to get their fur trim back fairly significantly so that they don't have that big full coat on them. That's very helpful in the winter, but boy, in the summer, I imagine it can make them pretty warm.
Definitely, yeah. For certain breeds of dogs, that can be very helpful.
Yeah, and one of the other issues that was interesting as I was researching the topic is the thought that dogs really don't know to stop. A lot of times they just want to play, and you don't necessarily know that they've become dehydrated. What are the telltale signs that the owner should look for to know that enough is enough, that even though he keeps bringing the frisbee or the ball or whatever he's playing with back, you know, he's probably hit his limit in terms of how long he should be playing in an intense heat?
Sure. Well, dogs can't sweat like people can, so they release a lot of their extra heat through panting. So increased effort in breathing or panting a lot is usually the first thing that we see. Just slowing down and maybe not chasing after the ball as quickly as they normally would, maybe something else that we would see as well. But usually it's the panting that's the first thing that we notice.
Okay.
And can you give us some general tips or ideas on the water itself, what makes an acceptable water for them to drink, and what should we have them stay away from?
Sure. Well, really any fresh water source is fine. It doesn't have to be bottled water or anything like that. We get concerned that there's some infections, for example, leptospirosis, that can be spread through water that's been out in the environment and can be exposed to other animals or wildlife and things. So a fresh source of water is probably the most important thing that hasn't been out in the environment, but any other source of water is fine.
Temperature's critical, not critical?
It's not a critical.
Okay. Okay.
So I guess when we're putting ice cubes in the dog's bowl, we're doing that more for ourselves than we're doing for the dogs. Is that right?
Sure. Well, some dogs are going to enjoy a little bit cooler water than others, but it's really the keeping hydrated versus the cool water that helps them the most.
Now, I'm thinking there's a dog park not far from here, and one thing that's next to it is a very large lake or used to be a gravel pit, I believe. And so do the dogs, is it good for them to drink out of the same area we would swim in, or is that an issue?
Well, I think it's a small issue, but it definitely is an issue. There's lots of infections that dogs could acquire from drinking standing water in lakes or rivers or even mud puddles or bowls that have been left out.
I would think something like mud puddles or something that's at all exposed to surface runoff in concentrated form could be definitely hazardous with respect to radiator leaks and oils and such, yes?
Sure, and there's a lot of infections that are spread through urine of wild animals and wildlife and cattle and rodents and things like that that all become an issue.
And as a practicing vet, you think that some of the cases that you see on a regular basis are direct results from this?
Correct, definitely. Yeah, okay. Using as an example, leptospirosis, which can cause kidney failure and liver failure in dogs. Oftentimes, we never find the direct source, but we know it comes from standing water in the environment.
Well, doctor, let me ask this question about cats, because we've had a number of conversations in the past about feral cats. What are they doing for water during this time of year? And because cats like to go outdoors, the windows are open a lot more, so they're going out there. How do you go about making sure that they're properly watered?
It's very similar principles. Cats' need for water intake is less than dogs, and cats in general are pretty good at decreasing their activities to only do short spurts of chasing wild animals and getting food and things like that. And cats actually get a lot of their water through the food that they eat. But through the same principles do apply.
Are there any telltale signs with cats? Because I can't say I'm familiar with seeing cats pant very much. So how do I know if a cat is really getting dehydrated?
There's not great things that you can tell at home. We can doing a physical exam, we can tell a cat's dehydrated, but they don't do a lot of the telltale things that dogs do. Occasionally, cats will pant when they're really over, when their body temperature is really high or they're overheating, but they'll get dehydrated before that point a lot of times. So it's really just important to have the water available for them.
And are most of these diseases that the cats can get, or even the dogs, are they the types of diseases that will actually kill the animal, or are they simple infections that can be cleared up with a visit to the vet?
Vast majority, if caught and treated appropriately, can be cleared up with the veterinarian. We know a lot of dogs and cats are exposed to these things, and their body's normal immune system takes care of them. But some dogs get sick, and some cats do as well. Vast majority are very treatable if caught early enough.
Now, locally here, we have Lake Lansing, and I know certain times of the years, it was just mentioned in the newspaper about E. coli counts and such. Our animals oftentimes are swimming with us, especially our dogs. What kind of precautions should we take or things we should look for? I don't know that it would be, do we not have them swim in these water holes, or do we just accept some of those responsibilities and look for problems? And are there certain, environmental cues that would tell us this wouldn't be a good time?
Sure. I think that all the same things that would make you or I not want to go in the water would be the things to watch for as well. E. coli counts that the health department's going to look into. My personal opinion is that there's a risk with any of these things, but it's the things that our dogs enjoy to do. And if they're in there swimming, and that the risk to them is the same risk that we have.
Sure. I know here in Lake Lansing, whenever it's geese flying overhead and it's right in the midst of that migration, that tends to be a high point. So I'm thinking that maybe one thing is if there's a lot of, seasonal activity in that lake from wildlife, that might be at least a more cautious time.
Sure, sure. And again, we know, dogs and cats are exposed to lots of different things that their body can take care of. It's just occasionally that they can get sick from it. You can't avoid it all, but there's some things that you can do to try to decrease the risk to them.
We're talking today with Dr. Christopher Sharp from Michigan Vet Specialists. Dr. Sharp, in looking at your website, I noticed that you had a piece on there about how to avoid a pet emergency and how to put together a first aid kit for your pets. Can you elaborate a little bit on that for our listeners?
Sure. A first aid kit for a dog or cat is very similar to people. Again, we have a list on our webpage of some very common things to have, but all the common sense things that you would have for people, gauze and bandaging and a thermometer and peroxide and things like that are all, very important to try to address the potential emergencies that you would see with a dog or a cat.
And how would you go about avoiding the emergencies in the first place?
Well, I think in general it's the common sense things in terms of, avoiding a dog or a cat being out in very warm weather and lots of activity, not being exposed to toxins and things that they could be exposed to, sharp objects, all the things that A person would be concerned that they could get exposed to, a dog or cat is the exact same way.
Well, it sounds like common sense is the order of the day again. So, Rick, I must be in some trouble. Thank you, Dr. Sharp. We appreciate your coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
Rick, in the next segment, we're going to have a conversation talking about greyhound rescue and what's going on with these animals and how we can go about helping some of these previous racers find homes that they'll love right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.